Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We're talking tonight, Lord willing, about who is the Holy Spirit, but I'd like to review these four verses that we looked at about the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. So, Isaiah 9:6. And let's go through each of these four verses twice. So, if you could say it with me, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. So remember in this verse, it teaches us some things that we can help others, like for people who say, like, well, isn't Mary the mother of God? If Jesus is God and Mary is Jesus' mother, isn't Mary the mother of God? How do we answer that? This verse right here, for unto us a what? A child is born. So Mary is the mother of Jesus' earthly body. But then it says, unto us a son is what? Given. So the eternal Son of God was given from heaven. So Mary is the mother of Jesus' earthly body, but she's not the mother of the eternal Son of God. He's always existed. Okay, so then if his name's to prove that Jesus is God, it says the Mighty God. And remember what we do right from this verse, because the Jehovah's Witnesses will say, well, he's a God. Little g. How can we prove from this very verse that this is that Jesus is the Mighty God? You remember? The very next phrase, right. And then it says he's the Everlasting Father. So Jesus is one with God. Okay, that is a good verse to prove many things about the Lord Jesus. Then Matthew 1:23. We looked at this verse. Okay, let's go through this one twice. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1:23. Okay, so that's a good verse to show that Jesus is God. Okay, then Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8, because back in Isaiah 9:6, you prove to the Jehovah's Witness right from there that Jesus is God, but they'll say, well, I've had him say to me, at least one said to me, well, he may be a mighty God, but he's not the almighty God. So we show him first from, remember, from Isaiah 9:6, that it calls him the Everlasting Father. So he is, Jesus is the almighty God. But then we can take him here to Revelation 1:8. So let's go through this twice together. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. And you can see from the previous verses there, this is clearly the Lord Jesus speaking, and he is the Almighty. And then one last one about the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 1:8. Hebrews 1:8. In this verse, you have the Father speaking to the Son. Hebrews 1:8. So let's go through this verse twice together. Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Hebrews 1:8. Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Hebrews 1:8. So you have the Father speaking to the Son, calling him God. Okay, so hopefully those verses can help us in our conversations with people about who Jesus really is. He is God Almighty in the flesh. Let's go then to Matthew chapter 1, because tonight we'd like to talk about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? In Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18, we'll go through verse 23, but Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of who? The Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. Okay, so who is the Holy Spirit? Well, it's obvious from this passage the Holy Spirit has to be God, because it's the Holy Spirit coming upon the Virgin Mary. A child is conceived, and that child will be God with us. Now, Mary is not God, so the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, must be God, because this is God in the flesh coming forth here. So notice also in Luke 1, it also explains this. And in Luke 1:30, we have Mary asking the question about how all this is going to happen. In Luke 1:30, we'll go through verse 35, but Luke 1:30, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name, what?
Jesus.
He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So here explaining again, this one, the Holy Ghost who would come upon Mary to conceive the Lord Jesus Christ, must be God, because we have God in the flesh. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses, this is off their website, they say the Holy Spirit is God's power in action, his active force. And it goes on there to say that Jesus is not God. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. He is not the Holy Ghost, not referring to Jesus, but the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. They say that the Holy Spirit is not God, but is just God's force, his active power. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. What does the Bible say? 1 John 5, 7. The Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The who? Father, and then who? The Word, and then who? And the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. So, the Father is literal. The Word is literal. And we could go back to John chapter 1. That's referring to Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And it says, these three are one. How can you make the Father and the Word literal persons of the Godhead and not make the Holy Ghost the same? Well, you can't do it, honestly, because it's very clear. These three are one. Well, if they are one, they are persons of the Godhead. One is not just a force. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. In the same way as those, the three names are used in 1 John 5, 7, even so it is in Matthew 28, 19. Matthew 28, 19. All three names here are used. Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the what? The name of who? The Father, and of who? The Son, and of who? The Holy Ghost. So it says they're baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. This is a name. This is not just describing a force, some power of energy. This is a person, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The Holy Spirit is talked about having emotions. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Now, you may say your car is acting up today, but that's not the same as saying your child is acting up. Your child is a living person and maybe being disobedient, but your car is not a living person. When you say my car is acting up, it just something's broken, something's not working properly, but it has no emotions. Ephesians 4:30, the Bible says, and grieve not who? The Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. I cannot grieve my car. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, the Holy Spirit is just a force, a power. You can't grieve a force. Your car and your truck may have a lot of power, but you can't grieve it. It has no emotions, none whatsoever. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, we can grieve him when we disobey him and don't do God's will. An inanimate object can't be grieved. No matter how much power it has, you can have a rocket. You can go talk to Elon Musk and ask him if he'll sell you one of his rockets if you have lots of money. But you can't grieve a rocket. It has lots of power, but you can't grieve it. It's not a living object. So the Holy Spirit has emotions. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, that the Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. As we saw Sunday, everything one day is going to be dissolved on this earth. Nothing on this earth is eternal except the souls that abide in this earth. They're going to spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or in hell, suffering. But if Hebrews 9:14, the Holy Spirit is eternal. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through who?
The
Eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So the Holy Spirit is said to be eternal, and no one is eternal except God. Notice in Deuteronomy 33, Deuteronomy 33, only God is eternal. That is, has always existed from eternity past and will exist in eternity future. Now, all people were created at a point of time, but all people will exist for all of eternity in the future, as I said, either with the Lord or suffering the torment of hell. Deuteronomy 33:27. The Bible says the what? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. So that was Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 1. So we're talking about only God is eternal in that sense, from eternity past to eternity in the future. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, what? Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise who? God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So the King, eternal. Only God is eternal. A couple last verses on that from Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Only God is from eternity past to eternity future. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from what?
Everlasting.
Everlasting to what?
Everlasting.
Thou art who? God. So, eternity past, from everlasting past to everlasting future, thou art God. So the Holy Spirit is said to be eternal. Notice with me then in John 14, the Holy Spirit is said to be a comforter and teacher. In John 14, he is our comforter and teacher. In John 14:26. The Bible says, but the Comforter, which is who? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he is our Comforter. You know, a doctor can't come up with anything to comfort us spiritually. You know, if we have an ache or a pain, a doctor might be able to come up with something to comfort it, to ease the pain, and some other medications, but there's no doctor that can help our spirit, help us spiritually. Only God can be that comforter, and the Holy Spirit is that one, that comforter, that teacher, the one that brings all things to our remembrance. What does man have that can tell what you're trying to think in your mind? Have you ever tried to think of someone's name or something from the past, and it's almost there, but you can't quite? What device does man have that knows what we're thinking and would have the answer? Nothing. Only God could do that for us. Notice in Psalm 147, the Holy Spirit is not just a force or energy, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say. The Holy Spirit is God, God Almighty. In Psalm 147, verse 2, we'll read verses 2 through 6. So 147, 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth what? The broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. No doctor knows how to bind up the wounds of a broken heart. Oh, they might be able to fix the valve, or some clogged arteries. But no doctor can fix a broken heart in this sense. Verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is what? Infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Only God knows these things. Number 5, let's go to Romans 8. Showing that the Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, who? The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. An impersonal force cannot pray for you. Have you ever had car trouble? And have you ever asked your car to pray for you? No, because it can't. I mean, there are people in the world who pray, as the Bible talks about, to dumb idols. These idols of wood and gold and silver, these idols can't speak. These idols can't say anything. Those idols can't do anything. A force can't pray for you. No matter how powerful. I don't know, what is the most powerful thing you have? Well, that thing, maybe it's a shotgun, a big shotgun, or a big deer rifle. Have you ever asked your big deer rifle to pray that a deer would come by your stand? No, it can't do it. An inanimate object cannot pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us, intercedes for us in our time of need. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now, I suppose there's a lot of people who have cussed out and cursed out their car, their tools, whatever didn't work when they wanted it to work, or maybe their furnace this time of year. But notice the words here. If the Holy Spirit is just a power, just an energy, just a force and not a person, notice these words in Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against who? The Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against who? The Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. How could the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, be just an inanimate object or just a force, just a power, when it clearly says here, you know, someone can curse out and cuss out the Lord Jesus Christ, but he will forgive them if they receive him as Savior. But what is there about the Holy Spirit? What is there that if someone blasphemes him, there's not forgiveness? He's clearly a person, not a thing, not just a power. Notice with me for the answer there in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. What does this mean? Sometimes people say, I can't get saved. Well, why? And they'll say, because I cursed the Holy Spirit. I blasphemed the Holy Spirit once, and so I can't get saved. I want to get saved, but I can't. How would you answer someone like that? Well, notice in John 16, in verse 7, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the who? Comforter. The Comforter, and we've just seen that's who? The Holy Ghost. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of what? Sin. And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they what? Believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. What does this mean? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit, there's never forgiveness. Well, right here it's telling us in verses 7 and 8, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us, verse 8, of what? Sin. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. But if we are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, then we are not accepting that convicting of sin. Well, there's no way we can get saved when we are not willing to admit that we are sinners and we need Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us. So if somebody is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, are they going to want to get saved? No, because he's the one that's reproving the world of sin. You are not going to have a person who wants to get saved that is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Because if someone is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, they are the one that are shaking their fist at God. It's like that, I can't think of his name offhand, but he was 80-some years old, just in the last couple of weeks, died. And he made a statement like, heaven is overrated. He died the next day. You see, that's the type of attitude. That's the type, the Holy Spirit is convicting, verse 8, the world of sin, but when they're rejecting that, they don't have a desire to get saved because they're rejecting that conviction that they are lost sinners. So nonetheless, if you go back there to Matthew chapter 12, that's why there's not forgiveness, is because as long as someone is blaspheming the Holy Ghost, they're going to have no desire to be saved. No desire, because they're rejecting that moving of the Holy Spirit. So these are verses tonight that show us, and there are many more, that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is God Almighty. So let's just review some of them. If we could pull up 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7 once again. Okay, and let's see our time. Well, let's go through them here twice, okay? 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So you can see right from here, the Father is a real person, the Word is a real person, the Holy Ghost is a real person. These three are one. So there's no way to argue out of that one. Then Matthew 28:19. Let's go back there. Matthew 28:19. Let's go through this one twice. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. So once again, proving just by the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's not just a force, he is a person of the Godhood. Then Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. You can't grieve an inanimate object. You can't grieve a non-living object. Only living beings have emotions. Let's go through this twice. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. And in this verse, remembering then that you, if we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, then he is a person. Okay, you can't grieve a non-living object. And then John 14:26. John 14:26. Let's go through this one twice. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. So he's our Comforter. He's our teacher. He's the one that brings things to our remembrance. Only God can do those things. Then in Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. Let's go through this one twice as well. Hebrews 9:14. Okay, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:14. So he's called the eternal Spirit. And then Romans 8:26. We looked at Romans 8:26. Okay, here, only someone living can pray for you and intercede for you. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26. Well, I pray that these would be a blessing to you. And then let's finish out with Matthew 12:31-32. We'll read through this one set once. Matthew 12:31-32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Matthew 12:31-32. A very solemn warning, and thinking about tonight that it's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that convicts us of sin. If there should be any here tonight whom the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your sin and your need of salvation, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, can save you if you'll turn to him tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I pray, Father, that no one would leave here tonight rejecting